William Morrow and Harper Audio present The Unraveling of Cassidy Holmes, a novel by Alyssa R. Sloan. Performed by Brittany Presley, Natalie Nautis, Jamie Matler, Piper Goodeve, Caitlin Kelly, Megan Tusing, and Stephen Grable. Author's note. Please know that this book has some triggering elements. Its contents include suicide, descriptions of depression and disordered eating, on-page physical assault, off-page sexual assault, body shaming, and body dysmorphia. If you are in a vulnerable mind space, please be gentle with yourself before you continue to read this book. I know how hard it is to reach out when you feel like you're drowning. If you cannot talk to a trusted adult or friend about how you're feeling, here is an international resource to begin looking for help. https://suicidepreventionwikia.org. If you're in the U.S., you can call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255.
Prologue. Wednesday. Yumi. The day that Cassidy died, the rest of us were in London. The three of us were good-naturedly receiving some ribbing from DJ Dashing Jed on the UK's third-tier radio spot. Earlier in the day, Emily had made sure that the typical ground rules were laid out. Don't talk about Mary's family. Don't talk about Rose's most recent visit to rehab. Don't pry into my failed marriage. And, most of all, don't mention Cassidy, our vacant fourth. The cubby we sat in was well worn, with yellow carpet up the walls and a sharp scent of dampness or mold, like someone had trod into the room with wet rain boots and shut the door without letting it air out. The DJ sat next to Mary, who was drawing hearts on the table with the eraser end of a pencil.
So, ladies, you appear in the new Stan Harold movie, Lunch at Midnight. Tell me, how was your experience on set with Stan?
Rose leapt to take the lead, as she always did.
It was wonderful working with Stan. I've seen all of his films since the mid-90s, so it was an honor having a part in his new movie.
She was smiling, like she knew there was a camera secretly recording somewhere in the rows of equipment. But I'd stipulated that we not be videotaped before agreeing to do the radio show. I didn't feel like having my weight discussed in the comments section of YouTube. I sat with Dashing Jed opposite me, elbows on the edge of the table and hands cradling my face.
He's a really funny guy, I said, injecting pep into my voice. And so kind.
Rose began talking about a funny moment that happened behind the scenes on set, but I tuned her out. The truth was, our part was only a quick cameo in a comedy movie, not worth mentioning or even promoting. It was supposed to be a nod to the adults bringing their kids to a PG-13 movie, a nostalgic aha that kept us looped into the current social discourse. I hadn't wanted to take part at all, but Rose insisted on keeping her name out front, and she was worth more in the gloss ensemble. Doing the cameo was easier than agreeing to a reunion tour, a recurring idea that she'd floated once a year for the past decade. So there we were, in dreary old London, where we'd once headlined sold-out shows, sitting instead in a dingy office, giggling into microphones and pretending to be relevant.
"We are only in the movie for like 15 seconds," said Mary. "Blink and you'll miss us. But if this pushes a new generation of kids to buy our old albums, more power to us."
"What? You don't think being certified triple platinum is enough?" asked Jed.
"I've always preferred diamonds," she said, laughing.
I forced myself to laugh too, falling right back into our usual dynamic, Mary saying something stupid and me smoothing it over.
"Mary, hun, you sound way too intense."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?